You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. Something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest. So Rob and Chappelle, give it your best.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back to talk about the brand new Mike Myers series, The Pentaveret, on Netflix. And I'm really looking forward to this one because we have two of my favorite people to talk to here in one podcast. So excited. First, let's welcome in the co-host of Nothing But Netflix.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
The Pentaveret featuring Mike Myers in many different roles. Here is Chappelle.
Yeah. Well, let's cut through the chase, Rob. What is wrong with this man? Is he okay? is Mike Myers well? I don't have to ever see one of his eight faces again. I seriously am good here. Like, we got Shrek in the top 10 on every Netflix category there is. We don't need
Shrek on Renap this weekend.
Listen, I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. Mike Myers, I cannot do this anymore. This did not have to be a thing. This didn't even have to be an email. We could have just skipped this altogether. What is wrong with this man? I'm offended. How did this come up? Did Mike Bloom suggest this?
Well,
we
were told that if we wanted to talk about it, another Mike would join us. And here he is, of course, that you've heard him talk about a million different things. Of course, the co-host of the Survivor B&B. Of course, you hear him all over post-show recaps. Please welcome back. Give it up for one of the five nicest people, Mike Bloom.
Thank you, Rob. But of course, I'm not alone. I did join by Billy Bloom from Canberra. Oh, don't forget about Lucius Bloom from Gloucestershire. Oh, and here's Willie Bloom from Lake Manitoba. I just came back from ice fishing, don't you know? Oh, this is Swedish. Nora Bloom, all the way from Stockholm. Here I am. Yes. So yeah, I brought a lot of people.
All right, let's just set up what this is, because people, wait, what is happening? What are you talking about? Okay.
No, seriously, what is happening, Rob? What set this happening? Up, because I watched this, I promise. Yeah. I swear I watched it.
Yes, okay. This is a show that is on Netflix. Mike Myers of SNL fame, Wayne's World, Shrek, Austin Powers.
Name something from the last decade
No, please. Nothing. Nothing.
No, so, that's the big point. Chappelle, right. This was his big return.
This is the return of Mike Myers.
No. Yeah. And he's back, baby.
He's not back.
In many ways, we saw a lot of Mike Myers.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Mike Myers. I did not ask for that. I didn't want to see your button on the bush.
No.
Yeah,
like,
first up, let me just say, nowhere near the Netflix top 10. Nobody is watching.
And you shouldn't.
This is seems like a seemingly a big bust over at Netflix here. One of the bigger busts in recent memory, maybe, of the Pentaver. Mike Myers is on the hunt for a secret society of five people who are running the world. The caveat is allegedly, but they're nice. Mike Myers plays all of the members of the secret society. Mike Myers plays, what, 8 or 9 different characters in this? It's 6 episodes, but a couple of the episodes are like 20 minutes.
I mean, this could have been a movie. I'm very surprised it wasn't. I guess they're like, we'll make a Mike Myers TV series. That's never been done before. But like, I mean, God help anyone who wants to do a re-edit of any of this. But it could have easily been one of these Netflix movies, if need be.
Yeah, but I think that this was like, they break the fourth wall a lot to talk about how it's a series. They talk about in the next episode, this is going to happen, like in like a, not even like a voiceover. Although Jeremy Irons does do a intro for every episode, so there are some cute gags here along the way. But I think that this is. Pentaver, I mean, was rough.
No. We're just getting this out of the way. You see Mike Myers' penis. In the season finale, you see his full penis.
There's a, you for see, some reason, yeah, Chappelle.
So much penis in this show. Like, and it's not for Mike Myers by any means. Like, there are just like are surrounding penises as well. It's like a whole room.
There's a scene for no reason. Penis. Like, it was not even a plot point. That there is an orgy in episode 6, which if you want it for the morbidly curious, probably like 10 minutes into episode 6. And Mike Myers is going into there's a big convention of all the world leaders that's happening. And they're going to go there. And Mike Myers has to go into the orgy. I don't even understand why or why it was even a plot point or why it was necessary. He's going into where the orgy is. And Mike Myers' full frontal nudity. I hope that was Mike. Was that special effects?
Are you talking about like the
what?
The look?
Yeah, the look.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're not like taking some model magic and slapping something on there. Like, I gotta imagine that's the real McCoy.
It was like a reverse Dirk Diggler.
If you are gonna use special effects, you gotta use special effects to make yourself look more impressive. I was like,
no, but it's comedy. It's comedy. Is it possible that this was like a fake appendage?
I mean, did you laugh?
I was horrified.
Yeah, I was horrified. This was a horror. This is not a comedy.
I legitimately, so the first time it happened, when the guy like ripped down his outfit, I'll admit, I did pause it. Look, we've got a little, that's been the celebrity culture as of late. Not to talk too much Hot Mess Magnus, but you know, Jesse Williams and the like. I'm a little bit like, am I going to see Mike Myers' penis? Like, this is a man I've admired since he's part of one of my favorite eras of SNL
swing.
History. I mean, listen, a little more of like a wah than a swing, again, if we're talking about endowment. But,
not. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
It's a mini me, is that what you're saying, Mike?
My god,
exactly. He might have to pay $1 million for a certain surgeon to be able to help it a little bit. So
doctor.
Yep. Exactly. It gets pulled off at first, and I legitimately did pause it a few times, like Zep Ruder film, like, did I just see his penis? Let me see. Mm-hmm. I was not aware that was the preview for the big show. I wasn't aware that was the opening act for the band to take the main stage.
Yeah, he goes into the orgy. And then, like, so a couple times in this movie, like, they have, like, oh, I'm the president of Netflix. And they say that they're going to do something when we let Mike Myers make this show, we didn't know that there was going to be so much full frontal nudity. So we developed the technology to block it. But not really. Like,
yeah, so the joke is that since it's in beta, it takes a while to buffer. And so, to Chappelle's point, we're not just seeing one tree. We're seeing the whole freaking arboreum of just like festooned upon with you know, with members from all shapes and sizes. I mean,
some gold members, some silver members, yeah, some bronze.
Mike Myers did not make it past the qualifying round.
He didn't make the podium. Mike Myers, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with these people?
He pulled a Greg Louganis and hit his head on the diving board. He did not make it further.
Oh my God.
I was just like, what is happening? Because it served no purpose. It was just walk through the orgy room. But there was no orgying. There was just arboretum. There was just wood.
But I was just saying, Chappelle, arboretums, but no burritos. I should mention no female nudity. Just entirely. And look,
burritos, female nudity?
I think that's something.
That might be.
I know.
I don't know. Tacos? Let's you know what? Make a note. Cut this part out of the podcast.
I'm influenced. I'm infected now. It's gone in my brain. I can't close my eyes without seeing Mike
Myers. Is there
Myers
a burrito
penis
emoji? Yeah.
Oh gosh, this was what, and that was episode 6. I didn't need it.
But we also need to talk about something that is much cleaner, but also without a doubt, and I you know, consider myself a relative connoisseur of like pop culture and the like. This is the most goddamn ridiculous thing I've seen in my life, where Shrek just appears in real life, quote unquote, to punch someone in the face. But it's not Shrek. It's a man in a Shrek costume who can't even move his mouth. It's like a Ninja Turtle.
Shrek cameo.
He shows up to headbutt Sasquatch in a real movie that just happened. Like in a movie, like Shrek showed up to headbutt Sasquatch and then was like hoisted above everyone's head and cheers because he saved the day. That happened in this television show.
Yeah. So
is
Shrek,
there a season 2?
Shrek, I don't think so. I think this is a one and done. So Shrek, by, you know, the opposite of the Pentaveret, has performed very well on Netflix. Was this part of the deal to acquire the Shrek rights on Netflix? Was that they had to give Mike Myers a bunch of money to make whatever he wanted?
I mean, the question is really like, what does he have on Netflix? You know, mm-hmm. like, did he watch them committing some sort of heinous crime? Or could it be a thing where they got the Adam Sandler deal?
Yeah.
Right. And they got like, they've gotten a few. I mean, listen, those are pretty much, there's a kind of steaming piles as well. But like, they got relative mileage out of them. Are they like, what 90s SNL washed up star are we getting next?
In all seriousness, you know who does a lot of stuff on Netflix is also David Spade. Like, I think that they are really like tapped into like early 90s SNL over on Netflix for whatever the algorithm is telling them. That's right. Kind of like what they're looking for.
My issue, though, is that, okay, Netflix puts out this stupid stuff. And okay, fine. We have a stupid series in 6 episodes, but Netflix's name is intertwined in the series. Like, it's not only a Netflix original, but they have their own product placement in it. When we get ready to get to the orgy, to the sausage party, it says Netflix. And they're like, Netflix is Netflix speaking. Like, if this wasn't a Netflix series, Netflix would be suing them for making them look so bad. And you did this to yourself. The call is coming from inside the house, Netflix. This is you. We're talking about Netflix is like, oh, we want to raise the prices. And oh, people are unsubscribing at an all-time pace. And this is what you do? Like, you're just putting a nail in your own coffin.
No, I mean, no, it's actually, I think this is the way to go. I think, listen, the 90s are here to stay. I think Netflix rebrands itself and is like, you want to see your favorite 90s stars buck ass naked? Sign up for Netflix.
I just, you know, again, it's like, it's not like I'm not a prude. I'm not afraid of nudity. But like, Mike Myers, what was the reason? Like, I'm not kink shaming. I'm kink asking why.
No,
I'm kink concerned.
For me, it's a bit like seeing a family member naked, if I'm being completely honest, where like, it's a little bit like I have so much familiarity with you and your work. Never once have I thought about what your genitals might look like. I didn't need that question answered.
Yeah, I feel like that we've seen almost all of Austin Powers. And you wonder that maybe, like, had the Austin Powers movies not been sort of constrained by getting, like, a PG-13 rating, would we have seen this 20 years ago? Was this on Mike Myers' bucket list?
That's the thing as well, is that comedy often works best under restraints, right? Diamonds are made under pressure. And so one thing that was really great about the Austin Powers films, which I will say what the Pentavit reminds me of is if you had to describe Austin Powers movies to someone else, and that person was like, okay, I'm going to make a series around it. Because it's like relatively similar DNA of jokes, but they are done so much worse. But like Austin Powers, obviously, since they had to go for that PG-13 rating, they did all the fun stuff with like hiding the genitals, especially in the beginning of the second movie. And not to say that Austin Powers did not also wear its welcome out, especially by the third movie, but like there was fun stuff.
You're like gold member, Mike?
I did not want to take on the smoking a pancake that was
smoking a pancake. Yeah,
that was Goldmember singing "Daddy Wasn't There." Personally, I think it was a little bit like the bloom had fallen off the rose at that point. Yeah. I remember actually I was watching it with my cousin, who I think was like 10 years old at the time. He's like, "I'm so pumped! They're going to be working together against Scott in the next movie." And I didn't even have to tell them even at that young age that like Austin Powers 4 was never going to come. It was never going to show up. It was just a pipe dream.
Chappelle, were you an Austin Powers person?
I've seen it, yeah. You know, but I was not an Austin Powers person. Matter of fact, it was 20 years ago that Austin Powers, the third Austin Powers was released.
With Beyonce as the love interest of Austin Powers.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Yes.
A whole lot of women. Yeah, I was there. But here's the thing. 20 years ago, I would have said, you know, Mike Myers is relatively young. This is fine. You know, this is a goofy comedy. He's fresh out of SNL from not too far removed. You know, that's fine. You're 60 goddamn years old now. You got to grow up. This don't make no sense. How many like dookie jokes are we getting? How much doo-doo do we have to talk about? The log in, half in, half out. Like what is going on?
I mean, what about the scene when they went to go play in the billiards game?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I actually kind of like that. I thought that was fairly smart of them to use the Netflix stuff to be like, we're going to cut all the curse words out. Because at first, you're like, what the hell is going on? Because you have these guys be like, oh, man, I hate this pool game. And then you know, just doing these over-the-top lines. And then they spliced out the curse words to then make it come across like a porn
scene.
Across his face, and then he licked it off. I said, Michael, what is wrong with you? You know, the scene was just like, oh, we're in America now, and people in America use the F word a lot. And so everybody was dropping the F bomb. But when they took the F word out, it was just more effing. A lot of that was just like kind of spliced together. And I don't know why they included the money shot. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the reason? I find it so interesting because, like, the odd thing about this is like there's a smidge of a post-credit scene in the Pentaveret. I don't know if you guys watched this, did you?
Oh, yeah. I think I turned it off as soon as possible.
No, I think I saw it. Because
it turns out, so it actually is like a sweet clip. It goes back to Mike Myers being interviewed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah.
By like a local journalist. And you realize the entire time, this is meant to be some sort of love letter to journalism.
Not a love guru.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, listen, what was it? Mariska Hargitay, I believe, is what he said all the time. There's a guy in that movie named Jacques Lecoq. Again, Mike Myers has not gone.
He's got one joke. Yeah.
One joke. Yeah. No, this was a love letter to local journalists.
What's a love language?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. No, it was to local journalists because like the plot of the film, well, the show is that this journalist is about to lose his job because he's getting old and he's about to he's boring. He's not changing with the times. He's just a nice guy. And I think Mike Myers is probably feeling that heat as well, because look, I think it's time to put him down retirement wise. You know, like, Mike, hang it up. It's this. We can't do this again. Don't wait 20 years and give us another one of these. We don't want it.
Mike Myers has had the wildest career in that he he came on, he was in SNL, he had like the big hit in Wayne's World, and then kind of goes away a little bit, then has the Austin Powers movies, and then the kind of right after that Shrek, but then he goes away again after Shrek, and then he comes back with The Love Guru, which was universally hated. I don't know how it's not in the crappy movie diaper. But then he's really been sort of like gone, that he popped up in a couple of different movies. He was in Inglourious Bastards. He was in Bohemian Rhapsody. But he's really, we haven't seen Mike Myers for really the last 10 years before he pops up here, with the Pentaveret. He kicked off 2022 with a Super Bowl commercial with the return of Dr. Evil, if you remember that. But it looked like it was going to be the year of Mike Myers.
I mean, technically, it's only this year's only half over. Like, he might pop up, unlike a certain part of him, in a different circumstance. I also want to say, Rob, like, as a quick deviation from Mike Myers, I don't think this is that's the Mike Myers movie you put in. I think you and Akiva need to watch The Cat in the Hat. Nightmare fuel.
2003's Cat in the Hat, yeah.
Just Google, everyone out there, Google a picture of Mike Myers in The Cat in the Hat. It looks like someone steamrolled said cat. Like, he has this odd, flat face. He can barely move his face while he is in the suit, unlike Jim Carrey. It is Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, I think I'd rather watch.
Robin Akiva love cat.
Yeah, I'd rather watch episode 6 of the Pentaveret again.
You would.
Rob, that'd be a very different version of Cats. Imagine if Andrew Lloyd Webber is like, you've got to put the penises in. I need to see the cat penises. Yeah.
I think there was a cut of that once.
The Rum Tum Tugger test.
Yeah, the Rum Tum Tugger
test. Oh, gosh. The tug test. This poor man, you signed up for that on purpose. You did that on purpose, sir.
Should we talk about the plot of the movie at all? Because for people who are...
No, absolutely not.
Someone is going to be like, I turned off this podcast after you were talking about full frontal pornography for 20 minutes.
We opened with that. Yeah.
You got to.
You not. This is
you
got to
get
ahead
of the headline.
This is the forefront of my mind. If someone does word association with me for the next 2 years, it's going to be Mike Myers' penis. It's always going to be the first thing I go to.
Yeah. Well, can I ask this question then? Chappelle, what was the message of this film?
There was a message. Okay. Think, Chappelle. Something about truth in the media and the news and clickbait articles and, doing your research and not just, misinformation in the internet and just being a nice guy. Somewhere in there, there's a story. I'm not quite sure what it was, but that's it. That's the moral.
All those things were in there, but I think it was very hard to sort of wait, where are you going with this? What are you saying? Because in some ways, basically the guys who were pseudo, the InfoWars people were kind of on the right track with stuff. I'm like, is this the message that you have here for us in this movie? Basically hey, the fake conspiracy theories, are you distracting you from the real conspiracy theories? And people are too distracted with their phones and they threw a bunch of stuff at us.
Oh, 100%. Phallic shaped ones. I mean, the thing about this show is that it swings back and forth.
Yes.
So much. Because to your point, all those comments you just made were there. They were valid. They were part of the other thing is that it's a 6-episode series, but we don't find out. It's a mystery and we don't find out any real information until episodes 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. So episode 5 presents everything that you just said. And that's very much the boomer perspective, right? Like the stuff about damn kids addicted to their smartphones, they don't find out, they go outside anymore. But then the final message to answer that question, they really just bring out in the finale of we all need to have a community full of diversity and well-informed opinions. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic, but it swung completely to the other side of everything else. And it's of all the people, Mike Myers is making the statement of I'm going to step out of the way now. It's other people's turn to rise and make Sasquatch poop jokes.
As he makes a film where he plays 8 people. Who portrayed 8 people in a film about diversity? How about casting some diversity, Michael? What are you doing? You're we really need to give other people the opportunity. This Pentaveret thing is not great. We're going to change it to a Septeveret. We're going to have women. We're going to have people of color. We're going to do all of this stuff. But in this particular film, it's just me. Mm-hmm. It's me. Him and Tyler Perry are on the same whatever. They're smoking the same out of the same pipe.
Yeah. But Chappelle, who else could have played Bruce Baldwin in Lord Lordington?
I mean, literally
and
anyone.
Rex Smith.
Don't forget about Mishu.
Yeah, and Shep, Shep Gordon.
But who is a real? Who is
Anthony
a real
Lansdowne? Yeah,
right. Who's gonna play Rob Lowe and Maria Menounos. Like, what is happening? That's what I'm saying. Like, for this to be like this random moment of diversity that they just throw in at the end, like, you know, this whole thing was a setup because we've been trying to take down these rich white men from making all the decisions. Yeah, but a rich white man did this. Mm-hmm. And look at what we're, look at us with our clown noses on, looking like fools watching this. Like, some, why didn't y'all step in? What, that should be the story of this. Someone should have stepped in. Someone should have grabbed, hey, put that down. Put down the director's, the camera. Yeah. Put that down. Michael, stop it.
Chappelle, to me, that what this most reminded me of that we have watched before was The Bubble. In that this is like another project that has really like gone off the rails, which also featured Keegan-Michael Key.
Keegan-Michael Key
loves money. As,
he loves, well, listen, no, yes. Ken Jeong loves money. Ken, I, yeah. Oh my God, I have a, not a bone, I have a skeleton to pick with Ken Jeong. Okay, Mr. Jeong, okay? But Keegan-Michael Key, I do feel bad because the man is legitimately talented. I love me some Key and Peele, but he has picked some of the worst. Like, Jordan Peele's getting nominated for Oscars.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key's acting in Fart Storm 7 that is The Pentaverate.
Did you watch The Bubble also?
I did not watch The Bubble. Oh, like,
Chappelle, what was worse, The Bubble or this?
This was worse. This was
no, I disagree. I disagree. This was, I,
there's that, no way.
There were moments when I laughed during The Pentaverate.
There's no way this is better
less
than The
full
Bubble.
Frontal
there's
nudity.
No way. Yes, The Pentaverate
well,
gives
I'm
you
out
that.
Bed. I need to yeah, see more.
Mike's like, I need to see it.
More 50-year-old comedic
no burritos.
Penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look. Like this is incredible because he doesn't even make it through half the season. Like, Keegan, you signed up for this?
Yeah.
You made it to episode 2.
He was on
Why
the
did
poster.
You take this check? Yeah. Why did you take Cover. The check? It was one episode, sir. Why did you take the check?
It was two.
They wrote him out in episode 2.
Yeah.
For Ken. What? Yeah. What is going on?
They're like, all right, well, we got a real ringer. Who watched the second most popular judge by default on The Masked Singer?
Yeah, that was so wild that they killed off Keegan-Michael Key in the second episode.
In a movie about diversity, you get rid of the man of color to replace him with the man of color. How about kill off one of the Mike Myerses? How about that? Mm-hmm. We don't need 8 of them. I was like, what is happening? What are we doing?
Well, then that's part of the mystery. Who killed him?
Well, that's the thing is I think the resounding question I found myself asking throughout this 6-episode endeavor was just like, to quote you many times, Rob, who is this for? why is this being made for someone? Like, who was jonesing for this particular thing? So not just like, I think if people want more Mike Myers content, it would make sense for them to be like, Austin Powers 4, Wayne's World 3. Not Mike Myers being like, you're not going to believe what I have to say about conspiracy theories. I'm going to open your mind to all this stuff that you never thought about.
It was so self-indulgent. It was literally Mike Myers in the most masturbatory thing that he's ever done. Like, he was like, I need to make something that I can watch with me naked in it, about me, with all of my, me as all of my friends, and make it when nobody wants it. Mike Myers did this on his own for himself. That is the answer. He wanted to see himself naked, surrounded by those other people naked. That's what he did this for him. He needs a reason. Give me a reason to be naked in the room full of these people on camera. That's what he wanted. He got it. Congratulations, Mike. Congratulations. I hope you're effing happy.
Yeah, baby.
Not you. I know you're not happy.
I don't know how to talk about this.
No.
What is there to talk about?
It's so essentially one of the weird things about this is, like we said, so Mike Myers plays 8 different roles. My God, with the I don't know, the range of a Nerf gun. Just not really getting anywhere. But the interesting thing is that, so Austin Powers, like, we very rarely saw Austin Powers and Dr. Evil and Fat Bastard and everyone, like, in the same room. Here.
Goldmember.
Yeah, Goldmember, yeah. You really love talking about Goldmember. What is
his favorite one?
I have fond memories of the Austin Powers trilogy. Yeah.
Very,
I
mean, that sexy, was, very toy.
Was right before you going out into the Amazon, so now it all makes sense as to why you were feeling
like
so
a tiger.
Nice.
Yes.
Austin Powers Faja.
Exactly. But they but instead of the 8 roles, Mike Myers plays 4 of them that all sit in the same room with each other. And it just feels like, I don't know, like a little bit shooting your wad. of like, you could do, you could play eight parts and four of them are in the same room talking to each other. What was the call sheet for that day? Like, Mike Myers and an AD, and that was it.
Yeah. Do you think that any part of this was that this was filmed during COVID? And so if we just still like have Mike Myers play all the parts that we're not really breaking any sort of like COVID protocol, the small set.
No, don't do this. Do not make excuses for this man. This is a mess. It shouldn't have happened. Instead of doing this and saying like, I'll just play all the parts because then I'll be within COVID regulations and restrictions and all that good stuff. How about just don't? How about you don't do this? Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Netflix, you said you were on the ropes, and this is who you lay with?
This is why. This is they put out the Pentaveret, and then everybody's like sold their shares of Netflix stock.
No, I think this is like when the boxer's on the ropes, and he's going to do like a massive haymaker, and he slips in a pile of his own puke and falls. Like, that's what the Pentaveret is. He's like,
was the Sasquatch recently in the ring?
Oh, no, yeah. I forgot about the Sasquatch poop.
That's just happening throughout the film. There's for the people who didn't watch this, there's literally Sasquatch just wandering the halls of this compound, taking huge deuces or number ones if you're in Russia, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah. He's doing this just sporadically in the hallway for no reason, no part of the storyline, because he's the watchdog of the facility. So as a watchdog, he has all the rights in the world to just take a crap everywhere he wants to with no impact on the storyline at all.
But for some reason, whenever he jumps, they play the sound from the Bionic Man. So Mike Myers is like, all right, I got something for every generation.
He really did, though. I will say that he was touching on so many references throughout this film. Like that was one of many. It was just like in the opening credits, you know, he would do like a quote about the movie or whatever. And then he'd quote Billie Eilish, like, I'm the bad guy. I was like, wait, what? And then there's at one point he's quoting Hilary Duff. He's like, I think you lost it in Hollywood Hills. I said, what is happening here?
Do you think that's why he has a live action, non-mouth moving Shrek show up to headbutt Sasquatch? Yeah.
For the record, I think those quotes probably like somebody else wrote them like in post. Like, I don't think that those were Mike Myers generated all of those quotes in the beginning of each episode.
Like, I hope not.
They had probably like, okay, let's get a young person to punch this up a little bit.
What young person is like, let's quote Dignity by Hilary Duff. Like,
do you think Mike Myers knows who Billie Eilish is? Do you think if they passed each other like on the street, do you think he would say anything?
Would she know him? Yeah.
No, absolutely not. He would have to use the Shrek voice for Billie Eilish to be like, oh, I've heard of that movie. Oh, it's on Netflix, right?
Change your hair, you donkey.
He needs help. And I think that this was a cry for help, and we should really like, we're laughing, but honestly, there should be a trigger warning at the beginning of this podcast, and we should definitely be like giving out hotline numbers and sending people to resources.
Everyone has blood on their hands from this, including and especially Ken Jeong.
Yeah, what is your beef with Ken Jeong?
He is like, I despise every role he has ever played.
Yes.
Because he does the same goddamn thing over and over and over again. I'll give it to Mike Myers. He's trying accents. Ken Jeong found one thing that worked in 2009 with Community and said, that's it. I'm done. No, I'm going to be doing this.
I do believe he played multiple roles in the Hangover trilogy.
No, we saw him naked too.
Maybe that is it. Mike Myers probably called him up in like 2009. Like, Ken, I love what you're doing. We have to work together. We have to collaborate because did what I always wanted to do. Frontal in a
movie. Mike Myers is like all the comedic actors who showed their penises in the past decade.
Jeremy Irons.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know about Jeremy Irons on the penis release scales.
Yeah, in Watchmen. I'm building the Pavengers. I'm getting together all the actors that have gone full frontal. I'm the Nick Fury.
I forgot that was him. I guess that makes sense. Ew. This is just like Mike Myers assembling all his friends and getting naked in front of him, at least from my point of view.
But my main hang up with Ken Jeong, it's mostly to do with the Masked Singer, where like
he's Rob Lowe's been naked on camera also.
Yeah, I mean that's maybe
Rob, are you on Mr. Skin?
No.
That'd be a good Renap game night 3. Has this actor been naked on camera or not?
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Put it on the wheel.
Oh boy, I don't want to know what the spinner on that wheel is. But the thing about Ken Jeong is like he just does the same thing over and over again. It is not funny to me. It is not endearing to me because he acts like such a brazen, over the top a-hole that there's very little love, in my opinion. And so like I've just had such a hang up on each and every Ken Jeong performance where I've seen, to the point where unfortunately, and look, the guy seems great. I loved him in like episodes of The Office. I loved his reaction to seeing, you know, Rudy Giuliani on The Masked Singer. That was the only time the facade got dropped. But to the point where now he shows up on screen and I audibly let out a groan when I saw this poor man. I said, not again, please. I mean, listen, I didn't realize, I was going to say he's poisoning the well, but the well was made up of poison. I just wasn't realizing it at that point.
This man was a licensed physician.
Yep.
And this is how far he's fallen. I don't care. He did this on purpose. Yes. But he needs to really take a good hard look at himself and just say, what am I doing and why? Because, I mean, he was the weakest link on Murderville, too. Not to throw him under the bus, but like Marshawn Lynch outdid him in Murderville. Sure. You know, so Ken, maybe try being a doctor again. Mm-hmm. See if that works out. This might not be for you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I do think it would help to talk through the plot of the film in terms of where it starts to ultimately where it goes.
All right. I think,
go for it.
I think it would help give this podcast some structure.
I think we need a rudder at this point.
Okay. All right. Keegan-Michael Key is a nuclear physicist working on cold fusion. He's got a lot of projects that he's working on that he has taken against his will and brought to the home base of the Pentaveret, that he is going to be indoctrinated as a new member. Now, again, so this is where we can talk about other things that it was believed that Keegan-Michael Key's cause of death, Chappelle, was that he was attempting the new viral craze, the Kiss the Star challenge.
Yeah, and the Kiss the Star is basically where you pull your head. Well, it doesn't really matter how you get there, but your goal is to kiss your own anus. You are supposed to put your lips on your sphincter And that is a challenge that is going viral. Now, I don't know of many people who could do this.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Chappelle, my FYP is permanently effed after
oh my gosh.
The internet for this.
Yeah, but like, you know, so like, I don't know how it goes viral. Like if the number of people is like less than 20 who can do this, you know, and so he goes and does this and dies allegedly because they've kidnapped him and they use that as the excuse for his faked death. Because he has to be the fifth person to fill in on the Pentaveret because Mike Myers died. One of the Mike Myers has died, and we had to bring in, you know, Keegan-Michael Key here.
We should also mention here.
His own ass.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, I mean, listen, if you like butt, dick, and poop jokes, this is your Bible. Yes.
The algorithm has found you.
Exactly. Oh. Like there is a, like, I would say at least, I don't know, a joke per minute in a roughly 120 minute show about somebody's genitals or butt or like something to do with sex.
Yes.
The only person self-gratifying himself here was Mike Myers. Mm-hmm. He kissed his own ass.
I will say that a person very close to each of us on the podcast, a co-host of all of ours, said that the Pentaveret is genius. I'll leave that as a blind item.
No, they didn't.
Blind item.
They didn't say that.
It was said.
Things be said. People be saying
genius
stuff.
Is a very
Kanye word to throw out. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's an operative word. Like, geniuses do exist. People who work at the Apple store are geniuses.
Are geniuses.
Would I put them in front of a Netflix television show and tell them to make something? I don't completely think so. Genius comes in many ways. Oh, right. Boy.
Mm-mm. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Across the pool table, even.
Yeah. No. Oh.
Okay. So that's Keegan-Michael Key, that he is going to be indoctrinated into the newest member of the Pentaveret. Meanwhile, we meet Mike Myers' main character is a Canadian newsman named Ken Scarborough. And he's a man on the street talking with people. And for some reason, Mike, in Canada, and I'd love to hear how our Canadian audience react to this, that Canada apparently is in like, 480p.
Yeah, they're in 4:3 fuzzy, they said. It is interesting because I feel like Mike Myers hasn't done a lot of poking at Canada. You know, he's done British, he's done, I can't say Scottish in the form of Shrek because he's an ogre. This is the first time that he's really tackled it. Now, that being said, I do feel like Mike Myers is doing a little bit of like, I can say it because I'm Canadian. A smidge.
So Mike Myers, he has an interesting background. I just listened to him. He was on the Dana Carvey and David Spade podcast, and he was talking about his background. I believe his parents are from Liverpool, and then they moved to Canada when he was young, and then he ended up then he went back and lived in England for a few years before. He ended up going to, I believe, Chicago to go to Second City. That's his background. So he's not a native Canadian.
Well, he's not a native person of any of these places that he makes fun of. It seems like, but he better stay his ass out of Africa. I know that much.
give it up to Mike Myers. Like, he did not go into that territory. He very easily could have, even in 2022, but he did not.
My issue here, though, is that, like, okay, we get Canada is supposed to be really, really nice. Like, that's the only thing we're getting. The people from Canada are so nice.
Yes.
But this guy, Ken, he's too nice. Like, to the point where his news reporting is very boring. And so they want to make him retire. And so he has to find something sexy.
Because the world needs clickbait. World needs excitement.
No, I mean, he says, oh, you mean dick bait. Okay, here we go.
Michael.
So here's the thing, though. Like, why? I guess he meant to like mimic this local reporter that is talked about in the post-credit scene. But like, why didn't Mike Myers have to put prosthesis on every one of his characters? Couldn't one of them just look like normal Mike Myers?
See, I think that when you see Mike Myers do an interview, I think that that is Mike Myers in prosthetics now. Like, I think that Mike Myers actually looks like the guy that he's playing in the movie now.
Oh, he's actually Fat Bastard.
Maybe.
Oh, no, not this.
Get in my belly.
I am so confused about the ultimate reveal in the movie where, okay, so there's the woman that works with him. There's a young woman who...
Riley.
Okay. She is sort of like a PA at the news station. She's like, oh, I'll help you go out there and find the thing. We find out in the final episode... She actually was part of what agency?
Okay, so there's the Fimbra Manis, I think it's called. Yeah. Maybe I'm pulling that out of my own.
No. You got it. You don't have to say that. Nope, you got it. Okay.
But it's so basically like they're the ones that kind of like run the day to day. It seems the Pentaveret, it seems like there's a bunch of odd divisions where it's like the titular Pentaveret, which is just five guys. Not burgers and fries. Then there's like Patty, who is the executive assistant. Then there's like a bunch of guys in robes that kind of just stand there and react in crowd scenes.
Yeah.
Then there's the Liechtenstein guard.
Yes.
Who are like the...
A lot of bureaucracy at the Pentaveret.
Yeah, like the secret service of the Pentaveret. And then there's the Fibra Manis, who are like the ones who wear the stylish bowler hats, who seem to be like... I don't know, they seem to be like... We see them manning the controls for the helicopter. Like, it seems like they do a lot of... day-to-day grunt work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the diversity. At the top, you have the five white men, and then you have the Fibra Manis, which is like these black women and like people of color that are down there doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. And so Patty has been fighting for diversity as well, and so they linked up, and then they sent Riley as like this undercover type person to go and find Ken and utilize him for this mission.
And so Ken goes out and he runs into Anthony, also played by Mike Myers. And Anthony is like a conspiracy nut who has like a van. But then do we find out at the end of the movie that also that Anthony was also a plant?
No, it was that
knew he had a van.
He was part of the plan. He was the man in the plan with the van where they said like, okay, he's a conspiracy nut. So like, he'll be the most susceptible to help Shep because the goal is to get him to the Pentaveret HQ. And so it's like, we'll get this guy because obviously he has plastered across it, like expose the Pentaveret. Anthony is also the most disgusting character I've encountered in quite some time from just a pure scatological perspective.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything in the film that's not poop related at any time. Yeah. You know, like that's his entire personality throughout the film. He's either farting or pooping or talking about poop, talking about hotels named after poop and buttholes. Like that is him throughout the film.
He does talk about, he makes a lot of like, talk about, he's drinking like, male enhancement cola also.
Yeah, because Mike Myers also plays sort of like an Alex Jones type, but he plays him like he has no neck or hair and he's sitting covered in like NASCAR sponsorships and he's just sitting in a chair doing a YouTube show. What's his name? Rex Smith,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he is giving his conspiracies over the airwaves, and then people like Anthony are just eating them all up. But he also has the sponsorship with the Extends, if you will, drink.
I know one guy that might need a sip of that.
I'm about to say now, Mike Myers, you got to spread the wealth on that one because you clearly need it. Yeah, don't let Anthony have it all. Send some to Ken.
Oh my god. But yeah, so the other thing is that so the Pentaveret, as established, so this is like a secret society, but as Jeremy Irons puts, like, they do good, right? It's that these five guys who from the 1300s, right, like were in the right about things and society said no, and so they're like, okay, we're gonna run things behind the scenes to make sure, like, they're the ones holding the bike that society is riding, being like, okay, I'm just going to make sure you're not going to fall over. Mm-hmm. And so that's why
they
like,
prevented
trying...
Y2K.
Exactly. Like they stop so many different things. And so that's why Hobart.
Not this
Clark,
movie.
That's why this shows the Pentaveret is gone. The Septaveret, unfortunately, let this slide under their noses. Mm-hmm. But essentially, like the big plot comes from the fact that the guy that this guy that Keegan Michael Key was replacing got killed.
The Mark Zuckerberg type guy.
Yeah, the Maester of Dubrovnik ends up visiting and compiles an investigation of like, who could it have possibly been? Is it any of the four members of the Pentaveret, or is it the one Australian man meant to resemble Rupert Murdoch, who was evil but is now quote unquote good? I wonder who could have possibly done it. This is a true humdinger.
Good question.
Well, I mean, there was still Patty as a suspect, because on Clark's way out, before he died, him and Patty had finally linked up, because they kept dropping innuendo that Patty and him were going to get busy throughout, to the point where she throws her sex toys on the table, just like haphazardly. Just like, here you go. And so they eventually have sex on the moon. On the set of the moon landing. Yep. Underneath the fake stars that happened. And then when she woke up, he was dead next to her. So Patty was a suspect too, because obviously, Professor Clark did not die from kissing the star, or what did they call it? A local rim job.
Locally sourced rim job.
Exactly. So he survived that, but he died, it seems like, from poison.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Patty is from Massapequa, Long Island, or as she calls it, matzo pizza, which is a real place, is one town away from where my mom lives on Long Island.
I feel so sorry for your mom to be even like remotely geographically affiliated with this town.
Massapequa? Yeah. Home of Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
If someone mentioned, if a TV series like this was made and name dropped a town that was within a 5-mile radius of me, I would have to move immediately.
Got to burn the town down.
Irreconcilable differences.
Right. Everybody just leave until we figure everything out.
There is a lot in this movie that they really play with words that sound like people with accents pronouncing words that end up sounding like swear words.
They get a lot of mileage. Ways. Yeah, I can't count the ways. I cannot count the ways.
It's mostly found in Mike Myers' excuse to do an Eastern European accent. And we should also say, by and large, many of these Mike Myers accents are trash. Are like absolute garbage. The British one he's been doing for years, so that's fine. The Canadian one, obviously. But like the Russian one, pretty awful. The Australian one is just like, he will never be allowed in that country, as far as I can imagine. like, it's just rotten. But yeah, much is made for Mishu of him mispronouncing words.
Yes, yes. They have a lot of fun with him trying to pronounce focus. You must focus.
There's also a fun little literal look down the barrel of the camera at talking about whether or not Hobart will take a key or peel.
Yeah, take that. Well, there's a cyanide pill or a key. And they ask Keegan-Michael Key, will you take the key or will you take the peel? Which he winks at the camera. Yeah.
Well, I thought that would be as corny as we got. Right? I really thought like, okay, you did it. It was right there. You did it. Fine. Pat yourself on the back. Let's move on. They never move on. They never at any point move on.
It's what they get. We can't not keep staying in the fact that they had Shrek appear, like a real live version of this ogre, just steps into this world for a hot second.
He had to headbutt Sasquatch, Mike. Like that is what we watched. Who else was going to do it?
Yeah,
right.
Have we mentioned that there is also a computer system, which is also a big plot point in the film? The computer system is called Mentor. It was developed by the Mark Zuckerberg type character. The computer system has the soul of a person. That person happens to be a masshole from Boston, as the film tells us.
Why? Why? I was convinced for 60% of this that it was Mark Wahlberg who like refused to get a credit because he saw the writing on the wall. But no, it was just someone doing like a Mark Wahlberg-esque accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mentor is basically this big giant eyeball or a giant looking through a peephole, you know, like, I guess that's what we're supposed to take from this. He's just an asshole. Like, I mean, like he's just saying like, smart alecky things to these
just
people
the star.
When he should be computing, you know, but Mentor is he's the focal point of the film in a way, because it all circles around Mentor.
Yeah.
And the guy who fell into it.
I thought it was the only one-eyed monster we'd see, and then I got to episode 6.
Mike.
You'll put him on timeout, Chappelle?
No, at this point, let's just go.
No,
let's just
do it. We're all on timeout. We're all in prison right now. We've been like doing this. This is the moment I go to hell. This is where
take me with you.
We let everyone else slide, but like you watched the Pentaveret. I'm so sorry. Yeah. We're gonna stop you right there.
You went full bloom, Mike Myers.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
We're here now. This is what we're doing today. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up with then, okay, Mike Myers is on the search as Ben Scarborough for the big story that's going to get him back on Canadian news. Anthony, the conspiracy guy, is going to take him and Riley in the van to go. And so they're going to go and document the Pentaveret. So he will have this story. They're going to send him in there. Now, there is an initiation. He needs to infiltrate the Liechtenstein guard to be able to get in and get all the footage that he needs to bring this back to Canadian television. Now, Anthony says that he tried to do it himself, couldn't get through. You need to be circumcised to get it. There is apparently they do some testing. It's called the tug test. He had attempted with crazy glue to replicate a circumcision, but he did not pass the tug test.
Why are you going into details about this?
It's an important plot point of the film, Mike.
It is a very important plot point. That is a thing that happened.
This cost at least like $10,000. This 2-minute sequence with between the pay for the actors, the green screen, the hair and makeup, you could have fed a family for a week to have a Mike Myers character talk about the time he tried to glue his foreskin back. So that I could pass a tug test to get into a secret society. Mm-hmm.
You could have paid a family for a week, you know, or at least let them keep the tips, you know, or something.
No,
just the tips. Yeah.
Just the tips.
Should they have come on with the Netflix guy be like, "Hi, I'm the president of Netflix. Mike Myers had an idea about a circumcision test that was going to be at this film." Instead, what we decided to do, instead of filming this scene, we fed a family for the year 2021.
No, Rob, that would be a ripoff. And you don't want to rip off in this moment. Rip-off.
Yeah,
that would be a ripoff. It would be so cheap. Yeah, it would be so cheap.
Also, knowing this TV series, it'd be like, and now we cut to them now. And it's a family of like apes like having sex with each other. And they're just like throwing bananas on them.
Which was in this film, too. Like let's not breeze past that in the orgy scene when they're trying to get all the censorship up. A monkey is just humping a monkey for no reason. It just happened on the screen for no reason, completely out of nowhere. They just did that. Yeah.
Oh my god. So basically everything's converging, right? We're like he's able to pass the tug test and infiltrate the Liechtenstein. Well,
he kind of got through, and the guy forgot about it, and then he brought up the tug test.
He didn't forget about it because we find out later on in the film that they had fast tracked him past all of this. This was part of the plan in the first place. Riley knew that the tug test was going to come up, but she had already cleared all of this. The man was going to pass him through, and he said, "Isn't there a test I'm supposed to do?" And he's like, "You're right, the tug test." And then we have to hear him scream as his screams echo throughout. That's not a tug. That's way more than the tug. That's way more.
It's like of a tugboat.
The grip you might have had to get on that to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like this altogether, Mike. You said this was like an hour. How many minutes? Like
I guess it ended up being like
2.5-3 hours. Yeah.
So do you think there's like an uncut version too?
No? Won't pass the tug test.
When it passed Netflix, doesn't pass the tug test. That's how I'm going to judge all my movies. If I look on the poster, I'm like, "That got cut." I'm like, "What? It's not."
Is that got cut?
Damn. Okay. Chappelle, we haven't talked too much about Jeremy Irons, who does the intro for each episode, that he basically like taunts you and says, don't skip the intro. I don't think you could skip it. I think this was baked in.
Oh yeah, because I tried desperately to skip the intro. I was like goddamn,
skip
Netflix.
Intro button didn't come up, but right. He kept telling me, like, hey, don't skip the intro.
Man, and now you're like, I was like so excited to come on here and talk about Scar as our person at the intro. I was like, oh, it's Scar. Oh my God. But now I am scarred because I just found out that was his meat hanging out of Mr. Manhattan. Like, y'all didn't have to do that. I didn't know that was Jeremy Irons.
Well, no, Jeremy Irons was a Dr. Manhattan.
Who was he? Because that's seen a lot. That did we see the Watchmen, right? There was too much meat in there.
He was Ozymandias.
Too much meat.
But no, I actually really, honestly, that might have been the best part of the entire thing was like, I did enjoy how they poked fun at that, like the bit of the meta aspect of like, don't you dare skip this intro, and how some of it was like, they did the, you know, I'm watching Stranger Things right now, so to have him recount the plot of Stranger Things was fun, and then in the end, he's just like, in fact, I would not be surprised if in the final one, it was, they didn't give Jeremy Irons a script, and he literally said, F it, I'm just gonna like say, it doesn't matter, cut to the logo, it doesn't matter anymore, I'm done, you made me do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He spent one of the intros just gassing himself up, talking about his own accolades. He's like, I'm Jeremy Irons, and I'm a man of stage and film. And I was like, oh, look at this. We like this here.
Why am I here right now?
That's a good question, Jeremy Irons. You had nothing better to do. You're a pretty big deal. You didn't have to do this.
Yeah, well, they have Jeremy Irons. They have Rob Lowe, who, of course, was in the Austin Powers film. So I don't know if there's a friendship there with him. Also, Rob Lowe's also in Wayne's World, the first Wayne's World also as well.
Yeah,
so,
Rob Lowe, I think, has than Mike Myers. They have a bit of a bromance. So, like, I'm not sure. I mean, Mike Myers never did appear on, like, Parks and Rec or The West Wing. So I don't know if it's reciprocal, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah,
I don't know if Mike Myers, if the Grinder ever went past season one, would Mike Myers have appeared there? That's the only other Rob Lowe project I know.
Let's not bring any grinders into this at this point.
No, please don't give Mike Myers any ideas.
But also, I did enjoy Maria Menounos, Chappelle, who is like kind of hosting the Pentaveret internal television network.
Yeah, it was definitely like E! News or whatever with Maria. And yeah, all she did was basically like start the episode. She would kind of give you like the transition to let you know where you were in the movie if you were losing track, because it was so easy to lose track. But she just kind of knew everything. She would just be like, I'm Maria Menounos. And the Pentaveret is down one person. Like, oh, well, girl, how you know? But she knew everything. So it was fun to see her. I wonder what else she does in her spare time aside from like silly things like this. Cause Mike Myers had to call her on the phone and tell her this was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, is there an MM group text between all the celebrities with M's in their initials?
Yes. The MM bracket. Start the bracket, Rob. We're going to do the MM name bracket.
Yeah.
Called like, I do think, actually, speaking of MM, I've had a lot of Maria Menounos on the brain because she showed up in a cameo on The Boys as well, which I'm recently rewatching. So, like, I've had so many Menouni in my mind for the past couple of weeks.
Menounises.
Oh, no.
So, that Ben Scarborough has infiltrated... I'm sorry, Bruce... Is he Ben Scarborough? That's his name,
Ken,
right?
Ken Scarborough, Ken, please.
Whatever. Please. He's got like 12 names. One of them's Ben, right?
I'm sure.
No, he's not Obi-Wan.
Yeah, okay. Ken Scarborough, he infiltrates and he becomes one of the members of the Liechtenstein Guard. He ends up teaching them Defendo, which he picked up in the Canadian Army, the Canadian Martial Arts. And... he ends up getting close enough to be able to see what's going on, but then he is the one that ends up, getting that his boss's head on a pike.
Yeah. So basically, so each member of the Pentaveret has a key that they can use to like
vote
on things. And then there's the Parche Clavum, which is Latin for spare key. I dare not look up what it actually means because I don't want my search history to get like tampered with, because I'm sure it means like, I don't know, big happy vagina or something in Latin. But essentially, fearing
Google
that there's,
translate out for that.
Yeah, that's they're fearing there's mistrust within Pentaveret. Ken and his boss go rogue. They go to Dubrovnik, where apparently that's like the home of where the Pentaveret started. and they find the Parche Clevum. That's where they meet Shrek, because the Ogre of Dubrovnik is indeed Shrek, and he shows up and headbutts Sasquatch, as we've spoken about many times. And Ken gets the Parche Clevum, but his boss ends up dying along the way. But now Ken is involved, incidentally, in everything going on with the Pentaveret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because once you touch the key, it has your DNA. And so now they can't get rid of him either. So he touches it, it like pricks his finger. He has like the blood in there. So he's stuck with them and they can't get rid of him. And they need him because the plot is like there. Here's the plot twist, right? Like we thought these were good people. Come to find out, they have two of them have gone rogue. One being Mr. Cho here, played Cho. By Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skip Cho.
Yes.
And the other, Bruce, I believe, was the other of the Pentaveret who went rogue.
Bruce Baldwin. Yeah.
Oh, and so, I can buy a Parche Clevum hoodie for only $45 on TeePublic.
On TeePublic.
But I hope it says what you thought it said and what they said it said.
Yeah, I mean, it is the cleanest, I think, piece of iconography from the Pentaveret that I would want to buy without getting stopped on the street.
Is there any other Pentaveret merch, Mike?
I think I'm going to have to look this up. Yeah, let's see. Pentaveret merch. Let's see. Oh, because I do have the Canada shirt, Living the American Dream Without the Violence since 1867. There is the Pentaveret Must Never Be Exposed t-shirt.
Ironically, there was a lot of exposure in the Pentaveret.
There is an odd Pentaveret shirt for the triannual meeting that says the Queen, the Gettys, the Vatican, the Rothschilds, Colonel Sanders. So I guess it's like a commemorative shirt for the Meadows, which again is that big sort of annual organization. So they've banked a little bit on merch here, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big surprise. Why would they think that someone would want to buy this stuff? Like, why would they think that? What made them believe that people would want to wear this? Because no one's watching this. And if they are, they're not going to want to wear the stuff from the shirt. I mean, from the show, like, why would you want that on a shirt? This is such a weird choice for them. I don't understand what Netflix is doing.
I don't understand what they're doing. I'm looking at I went from looking for Pentaveret merch to reading an article on Forbes that says Netflix's Pentaveret bombed because Mike Myers was never a star.
Oh,
dang. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Austin Powers heart is like shaking right now, Rob. Mm-hmm. They said this guy was never it.
I don't know. Maybe it was written by somebody who was born in like 2003.
Mm-hmm.
If you do his hit and misses, though, like he's not batting well here. You know, like
I mean, he had highs that many actors or actresses will never reach in their career. I mean, he had three huge properties in Shrek, Austin Powers, and Wayne's World. Not to mention being like an all time SNL person. So yeah, he had an amazing career.
Yeah, it was like 20 years of like really just hitting either like critically or not. And there were some, other things in between that he was trying. And then after that, it was just a huge slide into poop that he has not necessarily crawled out of up to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Bruce Baldwin is going to sell.
Ken.
No, Bruce Baldwin.
Bruce Baldwin.
I don't know all these people's names.
The Australian, Rupert Murdoch guy. He is going to sell the computer system to the highest bidder. Okay, he's going to have an auction to be able to sell Mentor to the highest bidder, and that's ultimately what they need to prevent. Because basically, you own the internet. You can change history, put out the misinformation, whatever you want to do, you can do it. If you have this auction. Now, did I hear this correctly?
Mm-hmm.
That the winning bid at the auction went to Putin?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
And you would think that this would have been like an easy one to clean up in the ADR. You think that was this a good call? To put this out right now?
This was a good call.
Yeah.
But
you could easily like dub a different word in there and not make the winner of the auction be Putin.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they had been alluding to the idea that Russia was evil throughout. Like, even when the Pentaveret starts to investigate their own, they're like, yeah, I wonder which one of the five of you is the one who's killing everybody. Misha, what are you doing again? Mm-hmm. What are you up to? He's like, just because I'm Russian doesn't mean I'm evil. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward to the very end, and they're like, hey, the person who decided to buy the internet is Putin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did that on purpose. Like, it was a mistake. They knew that all of this was going on, and they still did it.
Oh, wait. Was Mike Myers part of the Pentaveret where he knew that the Russia-Ukraine war would break out, and he decided to keep that joke in there?
Yeah, I mean, that would explain a lot. If the five people in charge of everything, one of them ended up being Mike Myers. Like,
I misspoke. He's part of the Pentaveret.
Pentaveret. Chappelle, did you like that the base that they built for the big convention, the Meadows, had a moon door?
Yeah, so at some point, Patty explains to us that, okay, this year we're going to do Game of Thrones theme and we're going to have a moon door. And I was just like, what? Mike Myers, read the room. Read the room. We don't talk about Game of Thrones no more. We waiting on this new series to come out so we can pretend like the first one didn't happen. But look at Mike Myers.
Could Mike Myers have, a la Austin Powers, been frozen back in like 2012 and got unfrozen 10 years later? I was like, people still like Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm. Poop jokes. Mm-hmm. We still like talking about dick. We do. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Shrek is still in the mainstream.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
I mean, he did quote a Hillary Duff song. Like, let's be very clear. This man is stuck somewhere a couple decades ago.
Yeah. And so they have a whole big final scene in front of the moon door where that basically we see that Ken throws his key out the moon door. And then Anthony, the conspiracy guy, ends up saving the day where he ends up knocking Bruce out the moon door.
It's so odd because there's a shot of the two of them falling. And I could understand if this TV series was made like 30 years ago, why they would do this, why, you know, Alex, whatever his name is, you know, facing up and Bruce Baldwin's facing down. But we have so much technology nowadays. Why were they not both facing up? Why do we have to get like post-track of Bruce Baldwin of like, well, we can't have Mike Myers in the same frame at the same time, unlike the previous five episodes where there were four of them in the same place at the same time.
And on top of all of that, Anthony saved the day by accident because he was trying to get to Bruce so he could ask him about Hillary's emails. He tripped and he accidentally knocked him into the moon door. And so he's falling to his death saying, but her emails, which I'm assuming is supposed to be topical at this point.
Well, that I read it differently. I agree. He was, you know, basically like Bruce ends up saying like, hey, like all these conspiracy theories, like all these grievances you have with the government. Yeah, like you got left behind because you're a stupid idiot. That's why
he stepped into the hero role.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was very much like he got shunned away and then he said freedom and like tackled him. So Anthony is the hero.
I think he was the hero, but he was still like, but what happened with Hillary's emails? Like his way to his death. Yeah.
Why? But you know, I mean, you must be an idiot if you think you're going to get the answer to that while you're falling to the death. That's why I was like, this had to be an accident because clearly asking this question now while you're plummeting through the moon door.
I think he was the hero, but I think he was a flawed hero.
I don't know if he was my hero.
I mean, no heroes end up clogging up their own chemical toilet with their own nastiness.
Yeah. He took out he was the person that took out the bad guy. Maybe let's not throw the word hero around.
Who was the bad guy?
I don't
guy
use here the word hero a lot, but I'm pretty sure the chemical Bruce toilet
Baldwin
ruiner.
Bruce Baldwin was the bad guy. He killed two of the members of the Pentaveret.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
And
I think,
ultimately, everybody Netflix in the Pentaveret. They're going to take their cyanide pill and off themselves. Not really clear why.
The Demetrius Protocols that they enacted was essentially that, like, if there was discord amongst the group that, like, it's not safe. And so it's like, let's wipe the slate clean and start all over again. And so I guess, I mean, listen, Lord Lordington, which is, to be honest, what Mike Myers might look like the next time he attempts one of these projects in another 20 years, like, was very... very old. I'm surprised they didn't do more wheelchair-based humor, if I'm being completely honest. Mm-hmm. Like, they only did one thing with a couple of backup noises. Considering that one of the most prolific gags in Austin Powers 1 was him doing the 33-point turn with a little cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that there was some, like, subtle allusions to that, as I feel like that we were, like, Mike Myers loves, like, little, like, tram cars going through tunnels and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Is that another challenge?
So the movie basically ends with the Penteveret killing themselves, you know, with the cyanide pills or whatever. And then we now need to find a soul for Mentor, because remember, Mentor has the mass hole soul in him. And now that they've like overrode his like mainframe or whatever, like fake science terms they made up to make it make sense, like he needs a new soul. And the only soul that they can find, the purest soul of them all, a Canadian soul, in the form of Ken here. And so he ends up sacrificing himself to be the new Mentor, aka Kentor. And now that's not a pun I just made up. That is literally what they call him in the film.
Yeah.
With this group, you have to be clear that that's not a pun that we made up.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The end.
Kentor.
Yeah.
The end. Literally the end.
Yeah. They did it.
They did it. They solved it.
We didn't talk about Mike Myers in the House of Mirrors with the Maester of
The Maester died. He had to go find the Saester, and somebody had to alert the Faester and the Maester's the Maester's Maester.
Jesus,
the Momster,
Christ,
the Maester.
I'm having a migraine.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought when he shoots the gun. And then he shoots her, and basically she told him to do it. And then he's like, because it was like a House of Mirrors, and he got lucky and he shot her. He's like, what were the chances that you would shoot me?
He's copying from freaking Will Ferrell's character, right? In the Austin Powers movies. You shot me in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly, it was the same kind of like vibe.
Yeah.
Like, you. This was ridiculous. The whole Maester Saester went on a little too long for me.
Oh, no, I love Tia and Tamara. What are you talking about? I will admit, what really got me was the Ando and Ergo stuff. Like, stupid. You know, honestly, that was more out of Mel Brooks, I think, than Mike Myers, right? Like the Laurel and Hardy handshake of it all, of how the Maester of Dubrovnik has two assistants named Anso and Ergo. And so whenever the master said Anso, they went, yes, master. And so it's just, again, it's really stupid, but it honestly, that's the bar, is that this incredibly stupid pun is one of the best jokes in this entire thing.
You mean to tell me that's better than the old log in and nuts deep?
How far is the old log in?
It's in nuts deep. I'm just like, I'm done here. Yeah. And that was episode one, maybe?
I think it was episode two.
Oh, my bad.
It really held off.
The old log is in nuts deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they did tell us nuts deep is a real place.
I mean, it'd have to be. If you're going to lean this far into the joke, I need to know that you didn't just make this up because you wanted to say nuts deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what was the other place? It was... Big Dicks Inn? That was where they were headed to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Big Dick owned an inn. He also owned the old log inn.
Right. But he also owned
that deep.
He also owned the Big Dick's halfway inn, which was between like two different places because he liked both Canada and America. So it's Big Dick's halfway inn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mike Bloom, anything else to say about the Penteveret?
This was horrendous. I'd lost my soul when I saw Mike Myers' penis. Out of context, you can quote that and you can make that your pin tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a shirt. Beat that.
Put it on a shirt. Settle it right next to the Penteveret merchandise. That's the version of I went to this place and all I got was this t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I lost a bit of my soul when I saw Mike Myers' penis.
Mm-hmm.
This was goddamn ridiculous in so many ways. That being said, I was captivated. Mm-hmm. In a way, like watching a car exploding, where you fear and you feel pathos for the people involved in it. But at the same time, you're just, your monkey brain cannot be drawn away by what is in front of you. And that certainly was the case with me. There were a couple of fun little things to put out there, but this was entirely ridiculous. I have no clue why or how this ended up being made, nor this passed any sort of quality check to say, let's not put this on the air. Let's give a couple tweaks to it, a couple tugs. This was just indescribable.
Yeah.
Absolutely indescribable.
Yeah, I do think that part of the appeal at Netflix, I think that they used to like sort of brag about of like at Netflix, we let the creators create. We give them a blank canvas and we let the artists. This is what, you know, we don't give them a lot of notes. Chappelle, does Netflix need to rein it in a little bit? Like we've talked about some bad properties over at Netflix in these last couple of months. That does Netflix need to tighten things up?
Yeah,
a little loose down there.
It's a little loose. Yeah, we were very kind to Madea's homecoming, but make no mistake, this shouldn't have happened. This should not have happened. I think once you do Madea's homecoming, the floodgates are just open and you can do whatever the hell you want. And it happened. I'm not sure why. We talked about it and I had a good time talking about it. But yeah, Netflix, how dare you? Go to hell. Because I guess me and Mike going to be there waiting on you since we watched this damn movie.
I will say, I don't think you can or should watch this alone. In fact, it's dangerous if you do. I think you...
Don't watch with your parents.
Don't watch with your kids. I almost put this on with my kids. I really did. I almost did. Well, I did put on Madea with my son.
Have you
son.
Learned nothing from Madea? Yeah.
But I didn't. I was like, oh, this will be a funny thing. Like Mike Myers plays a bunch of different characters. This will be cute.
Oh, what's this? Episode 6? I think it's fine. They can turn into it.
We would have made it to episode 6.
Yeah, so I would say within the same space as a consenting adult, or do what we're doing and have like a watch party and do like a how the hell did this happen type of thing. But I truly think this is one of those in the same realm as like The Room and Birdemic, where I think it is very much more enjoyed watching it with a community to just react to the WTF-ness of it all.
Please nobody tell my wife that I watch this. Oh my God.
I think I don't know what she's going to think about you at that point. Like you've been dodging divorce for a very long time. I think this might be it.
Teetering.
Yeah, this might be it.
This might be it.
Can you sue Mike Myers if that was the case?
I'll try to.
I think you should.
For damages.
I will be there.
Class action lawsuit. We'll get it started.
Let's do it, Rob. I'll get you a room at Big Dick's halfway in.
All right. If anybody's looking for me, I'll be in nuts deep.
Yeah. There's a line in this movie that literally says you'd have to be a dick to bail now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we talked this out, I'm like, yeah.
I believe that was episode six. They were telling you. Yeah.
There was a warning and we did not heed the warning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This basically is like the show that rickrolls you. I was going to bring in the Two Girls, One Cup of Netflix.
Oh my gosh.
No. Eight guys, one cup.
film people watching the show and post those videos to YouTube. Yeah.
We do watch people engage in sexual acts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like crap, like actual pooping, and there is a lot of puke. So like the ingredients are there, let's not bake the cake.
Yeah. All right. Chappelle, what's coming up next week? Have you looked ahead?
No, I thought we got canceled. I thought this was the last
one.
Is this
it? This was our finale.
It's gotta be. Cause first of all,
we want to thank everybody that's been with us along the way.
Like, thank you, Mike Myers. because what? Because now we are done. You have ruined our whole career as podcasters. Mm-hmm. Nothing but Netflix is dead now. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a coffin right next to me that I'm just going to go lay down in. Just like, this is it.
This is how I go. Okay. So, Rob, there are a ton of TV shows in the U.S. today, but we've been getting some suggestions as well. I think number one on TV is The Lincoln Lawyer.
Lincoln Lawyer. Is this based on the Matthew McConaughey film?
I have no clue. Mm-hmm. I have no clue, but it is a 10 episode series.
Does not take place during the time of Abraham Lincoln, does it?
I don't think so. I see a car and a skyscraper. Well,
Matthew McConaughey is in commercials for Lincoln's.
I believe that was after the Lincoln Lawyer. So maybe that's, if they brought back Lincoln Logs, do you think they get Matthew McConaughey to do them?
Yes. Just don't say logs anymore.
Yeah, the Lincoln Lawyer is a 2011 Matthew McConaughey film. So Mike Myers, right when he came out of cryostasis, might have picked this one up.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've also got some suggestions about the show BS.
The Howie Mandel
show. Well, the game show.
Yes, BS. Yes. Got it.
Yeah. A lot of people brought that up, but from what I understand, I've talked to a reliable source, AJ Mass, and he told me, like, we don't need to do that. We're good. And so I trust AJ Mass. Now, if you want to go down that route, I definitely will contact him. But
where was AJ Mass to tell us not to talk about the Pentaveret?
He don't care about us. AJ Mass don't care about us. You know, he don't. Because if he did, he probably did tell you not to talk about it, honestly. If I go back and look at my messages.
Do you think they mixed up the titles for the Pentaveret and BS? Because I think BS is a good way to describe the show.
No, that's probably fair. But yeah, I think Love on the Spectrum starts this week. And I know Maggie Morgan is a very big fan of that show. And so I know she would love to come on and talk about it. Even if we don't talk about it this week, I'm sure we could put it in the chamber for later on. But yeah, there's a few options. Do you have the list pulled up of like what's coming up on Netflix?
Well, the one thing that's the number one movie on Netflix is the Rebel Wilson Senior Year.
Oh,
feel
yes.
good goofy comedy, but rated R,
featuring co-starring previous RHA B&B co-host or a guest Mary Holland is a star in Senior Year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we could get Mary Holland maybe we should watch it first before we decide if we
want Mary Holland to come on. If you could, I could make some connections.
I was about to say, we know a guy who knows somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A cheerleading stunt gone wrong landed her in a 20-year coma. Now she's 37, newly awake, and ready to live out her high school dream, becoming prom queen. I have seen some of our other friends even talking about this on social media.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a reflection. Maybe this will be an excuse for you all to talk about your own high school experiences. But it's got a good cast. Rebel Wilson. It has
I think
Sam
that would
Richardson.
Be the one that seemed. This sounds like this would be the pick.
Yeah, so I think Sam Richardson, who I really love, Chris Parnell. Speaking of other, and actually, I think you got to talk about it. Alicia Silverstone is making her way back to the silver screen.
Okay.
Here.
One of Chappelle's favorites.
From back in the day. I was terrified of her in that movie. The Crush? She was scary. Yeah. But this is a Rebel Wilson movie that is 1 hour and 53 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. Too long.
I mean,
too long.
Shorter than the runtime of the Pentaveret.
Too long as well. Short in other ways, but not, you know.
Too
was,
long
that
in
was
the worst
the short
ways.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too short in some places, too long in other places. All right. So let's see. But I think for now, unless we hear otherwise, let's make Senior Year the pick.
Okay. Now, do you want Mike to make his phone call, or do you think we should do this too deep? Because if we bring on our guest, you might not feel as comfortable as you would saying that it's a piece of crap like this movie was. So,
well, let's see what the universe holds.
But yeah. for what it's worth, this was not something that she wrote or like she only started it. So maybe she'd be a bit looser than if it was something like what was that movie that the Hulu movie that she wrote, where she'd be a little less likely to talk about it. But yeah, very understandable to give it a watch first before you agree to bring on a star of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
OK. All right. Mike Bloom, what's coming up for you?
Holy moly. So
you're covering Holy Moly.
I'd love to. That's like the perfect palette.
Mole, 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 mole.
We
don't want to talk about Fred.
We don't want to talk about that Austin Powers star.
He was the mole. Yeah.
And also starring with Rob Lowe on The Grinder, not Mike Myers. So this week in Survivor, not history, Rob, we get to do our own sort of do our own version of the Meadows.
Yeah, what a preview this week is. It's Mike Bloom week. It's Mike Myers week. And then we're talking about Robin even gets Shrek'd. This was such a preview for the weekend.
Mics are getting dropped right now. So you and I get to do our feedback show for what should be Even if it's not a fun episode of Survivor, I think it's going to be a very fun podcast when you and I get together. So we're doing that over the weekend. Of course, I'm still doing Exit Press. We just recorded our B&B this week with Jessica McKenna, who is a really great improviser, musician, comedian, previous RNAP guest as well. And then the speaking of Netflix, I've been hovering over that app because I got to cover The Circle. I did the week two episodes 5 through 8 coverage with Taryn and Sasha. That also got very R-rated as well. So like, I fear I'm just infecting everybody with this type of stuff.
Let me just say something. I know it wasn't Taryn. Okay. So, are you and Sasha corrupting Taryn?
It was Taryn actually. I don't know if he got a little bit of like that Bloomtor in him. If my soul was sucked into his body.
Yeah.
My eye popping out. But like, listen, I will say this season of The Circle is okay, not particularly like stimulating in many ways. So like,
beats the hell out of the Pentaveret though.
We found things to talk about. And so we had a fun time doing that. I'm also doing Exit Press starting this week. I started doing interviews with the contestants that got eliminated. But over on Post Show Recaps, I can fill a Pentaveret with the podcast that I am currently doing. So Lost Countdown with Josh Wigler. Speaking of Netflix, Stranger Things Rewatch podcast with Josh Wigler, which has been a lot of fun. Barry season 3 with Deidre Lipsicus.
Netflix needs those Stranger Things kids bad. When are they coming back?
Yeah, they grown ass people now.
Yeah.
Well, now I fear, given like where the Pentaveret went, like what we're going to see from those kids, especially to your point, Chappelle, like now that they are, you know, of age, you know, then besides Barry. Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi is coming up on May 27th. And so I'm getting ready to cover that with Rich and LaTanya. And then another one that I guess this sort of got me in the mood for was another very profane, very gory series, but of a much, much better quality. The Boys, Amazon Prime superhero series, is coming on July 3rd with its third season. And I got together with Kevin Mahadeo, our preeminent superhero expert on Post Show Recaps, to talk through the series. We're doing 2 season rewatch podcasts, one that's coming this Friday for season 1. The next one is dropping next Friday for season 2 before we do episodic coverage on season 3. So if you're a fan of The Boys or if you want to check it out, we give a little bit of a precursor in the beginning as to like what the series is about, if it is for you, because it is a very acquired taste. I would say I love the show, but it is a very I think you'd like it, actually. Okay. I think I'd say at least what I say about The Boys is like, watch the first 15 minutes of the first episode and you will realize very quickly whether it's for you or not.
Okay.
And no judgment if it is not for you. But again, very acquired taste. But if you're into it, it's really, really well done. So you can check that out. And then Rob, you got to join Jessica, Lisa and I talking about Star Trek Picard, another very wackadoo show in a very different way than the Pentaveret.
Yes, yes. That was a lot of fun talking with the two of you. I just hope that Chappelle doesn't think less of me for watching a season of Star Trek.
Oh, but you love that, like Chewbacca and all that stuff. You like that
Chewbacca.
Stuff. Do what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's the Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Shrek, all the characters.
All the characters.
Yeah. Sure. Fat Bastard.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else is in the Star Trek cinematic universe?
Yeah. Jabba the Hutt is a bit of a fat bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
yeah. Yeah. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
I love having Mike Bloom here because he makes my plugs sound like.
I know.
Like,
I was like gonna say. I'm a dwarf your plugs.
Yes, I'm okay with that because people like to make fun of me and all of my plugs, and I don't have that many. I swear. It's Fear of the Walking Dead on Post Show Recaps. You know, we're still doing that. AJ Mass, myself, Josh Wigler, and Jessica Lease every week. And so I took a break last week because I was traveling and all kinds of stuff. And so this week, I'm back. It's going to be a good time. Pooya and I got to interview the showrunners of Bel-Air on the Bel-Air.
Yeah, what a get.
Awesome.
I was like throwing up and crying. You know, I was so nervous. I was like, okay, what would Mike Bloom do?
We've seen too much puke on these shows. I think please don't say you were throwing up.
No. I was like, what would Mike Bloom do in this situation? You know, and so it went well. I think, you know, they didn't block me. They followed me on Twitter. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, check that out.
Sorry.
If you watch Bel-Air and if you want a sneak peek into what might be coming in season 2, it might not be that much of a sneak peek, but you know, check it out anyway. Clickbait. And then also, still covering Atlanta on Post Show Recaps. Told you, very busy on Post Show Recaps these days, but Atlanta is wrapping up. We just recorded episode 9 recap. It was called Rich Wigger, Poor Wigger. And it was a good time to talk about it, to say at the very least. But Mari and I pushed through. We were very tired afterwards. A lot of talking on that podcast, a lot of teaching. Atlanta has been weird, but check that out if you like the show. And then on Silent Podcast, myself, Gia, Sasha, and Jason over on the Silent Podcast crew, we talked about ABBA Elementary, the second half of ABBA Elementary. Played a few games, just chopped it up over there. And so check that out. Follow Silent Podcast wherever you get your podcast. And then Bryce Isaiah and I are in negotiations. To cover a show on the Purple Pants podcast. So if all goes well, it should be the Purple Pants badass himself, me, and Sharia from Survivor China talking about P-Valley on the Purple Pants podcast. So all of that coming up and more. It's been a good time. But yeah, follow me on Twitter to keep up with all those links.
All right. And thank you so much for joining us here on Nothing But Netflix. You can subscribe to our Nothing But Netflix podcast feed. Go to robswebsite.com/Netflix feed and check out everything else that we have going on over on robhasawebsite.com. Mike, thank you for joining us and putting yourself through the Pentaverate.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. Listen, I got to talk with Grace Leader several weeks back about how much I enjoy bad things, but even more so just like talking about them, like just the ridiculous choices that are made. And look, I put myself through more pain in this than
it's
I would
my
realize.
Love language, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, this is our proverbial tug test, but we were able to grin and bear it and yell through it. And we got here to the end of it. And I love getting to come on and talk with you guys about like literally anything under the sun. This is even like the limit, but like I'm still happy we got there at the end of the day. This was such a fun time. I hope people made sense of the madness of essentially three grown men just breaking down mentally over the composition of the show. But it was just a fun time to get to get through it all.
All right, thank you all so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.